Look, I'm going to stick with this higher love theme and love all the way through. So if it's just getting chintzy for you, I'm wearing red shoes too, if you can't see it online. So, I mean, it's just, love for me has just really been a huge, huge blessing and gift. And it's been a huge mystery for me and a huge confusion for me in lots of parts of my life. At this point in my life, I'm feeling better about it and understanding it more. And that's because I've had to give up and say the only one who really defines that for me is God anyways, and keep coming to him and what he's done. And I knew that a long time ago, and I have to remember that every day. Am I alone, or is there other people that need to remember, gosh, this love is just amazing. And so we sing and we celebrate, and we can even look at what people have called a Hallmark holiday, even though it was around, I think, before Hallmark, but whatever, it doesn't matter. This idea of love is something we all want. I'm going to tell you right now, there's people that are waiting for me to say something about, you know, what's hitting them exactly in the heart. If I can get like that, like Cupid on Valentine's Day. I can't. But God can. Would you hear him today? Would you open up your mind and your heart to the lover of your soul? Would you allow him to give you this love that's so much deeper, wider, stronger, higher than any of ours could be? That we wouldn't even believe it if he told us in advance what he was going to do for us, and yet he did, and he keeps following through. We wouldn't even believe it if he told us ahead, so we just get to receive it. Somebody has to do that. I'm also going to say that there's people right now that recognize that church and loving in the community and all that is like God's great expression, right? Yes, he sent his son, and then his son said, my bride, that's who's living on right here. I'm living on through her, and I'm making her better and cleaner, and I'm going to invite more people. And so if all that's real to you, and this is your church home, I beg you in Jesus' name, honor God and give through your home church. You and God, and we're going to teach this, money is just not something that he worships. But he uses it. And he puts it in its proper perspective. So with all that, we're going to go to Mark 12, 29 through 31. You guys might know this one, but you know the Matthew 28 one probably a little bit better, the reference that is. And it's the same thing. It's called the Great Commission, the Greatest Commandment. I will say, you and I are commissioned to live this out, but it's the greatest commandment. Jesus gets asked in Mark 12 a really, really great question. A really common question, a really important question even to us, right? He gets asked in a rabbinic style of teaching, Rabbi, what do you think is the most important commandment of all? We've got more than 10, by the way. And we're in the middle of that and talking about what these are. But they're like, look, we're Jews and there's all these rules and laws and commandments and all that. Would you just sum it up for us, Jesus? What's the most important one? What brings everything together? And he starts with the holiness of God, you guys. That's what brings everything together. Jesus answered, the most important is, Hear, O Israel. Shema. Lo Israel, right? Listen, open your hearts, Israel, God's chosen. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. There's only one God. And you shall love this Lord your God, Yahweh, the great I am, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Friend, does that feel like God's chintzing out on the love affair here? Does it feel like he's saying, like, give me what you got? Jesus says, love Yahweh with everything. That's the most important thing. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. This is the higher love. First things first: God, then people. That doesn't mean you hate people. That means they're in the proper perspective. You don't worship them. But I'm going to say this after saying all of that, and it's a whole real focus of the second half of the Ten Commandments, is that people matter to God. I've made a huge deal out of God early and often in this whole thing just now, just to get to this point. He's so awesome. That's where we focus. And what besides his holiness and his glory is a big deal to him? His image bearers, the people that he made. So we're going to look at three really common commandments. And I could spend as little or as much time as I want on all of these, but I can sum it up in this. And if that's for some of you who are at home and want to go get back and get warm, then here you go. People matter to God. And that means they should matter to us. And so, we'll go to Exodus. You guys remember, can anybody tell me who's been reading along just really quick? What are the next three commandments? Do you remember them? Or do you remember one of them? If you remember all three, please put your hand up real quick and I'll call on you. Oh, hi, sweet girl. I know you know. I'll let you think about it up there. The next three commandments after the, or you know, the first three. Do you remember what those were? Okay, so yeah, don't kill anyone is one of our three today. Absolutely. Kind of seems like a low bar, right? A bit, okay. What's that? We did have no idols before. That's one of the first two. You're right. Thank you. So, don't kill. Don't covet is good, and that's later on. That's why we, and don't steal. That's good. Do you know a guy was reading a Bible in a hotel? And his time came up and he had to check out, so he took the Bible with him. He was telling the story and all these people freaked out. And he goes, I didn't get to that part yet. Because he stole it. All right, anyways. Look, love God, right? And love people. Just love people. The parents, I'm surprised, honor your mother and your father, right? Don't kill and don't commit adultery. They don't have sex with somebody else's spouse. Those just are so quick and so easy, and people know them so freely and can quote these ones more than even the first two. But we forget to walk this out because we forget to love God with all that we have. And he goes, look, I love you so much. It's all about me. Don't worship anything else other than me. Don't use my name in vain. Keep my Sabbath. Let's start first things first. And then these next six are about treating people right. Because they're my image bearers and they matter to me. Exodus 20:12. And again, I think most of the parents in the room are probably like, yeah, I knew that one. I just didn't want to, you know, brag, I guess. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. My mom, when she first heard this one as a new Christian, she had asked, like, well, what does it mean, live long? And then she goes, if you listen to your mom, you live longer. I'm like, yeah, because she, plenty of times, mom, I love you, hopefully you're watching, just reminded me that she could take me out. But you guys, this is something that, again, is fairly common. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long. This is the first commandment that has a promise attached to it. Let's go to let's go to Ephesians 6. And you hear just a little bit more commentary from this former Pharisee turned Jesus freak evangelist, Paul. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And then I love this. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Honor your mom and your dad. It's good for you. It's going to help the whole world keep going. You're going to live long in this land when you take care of each other, he says. So let me ask, I'll just get right to it. What is honor? What is honor? Just a couple of things from you. What do you think honor is? Anybody? Respect. Cool. What else? Obedience. Cool. Love. Yeah. Put somebody in their rightful place. Whew. You come into a room and there's like the seats of honor. Sometimes they're on a stage or they're up front. When you come into a room, where do you think you're supposed to sit? This one says, honor your mother and your father. I love this, by the way. In this time where we're like, where are women being recognized? This goes way, 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 way back. God always has recognized the importance and value of women. And his people can too. We should. Put people in their proper place. Put your parents in their proper place. So, that kind of begs the question, right? If we're looking at care and respect and listening to our obedience, right, and obeying them, also is important to know you obey them when it's appropriate before the Lord. You don't honor your mom and dad by dishonoring God. Can I just hear somebody go, mm-hmm. Honor them. But some of our parents have struggled with honor. So, I have a couple of questions for you. How do you honor your parents if they're less than honorable? What do you think, you guys? Really quick. Good. Keep loving them. Pray for them. Nice. Forgive them for their shortcomings. Thank you. One of the ones that I've had to work on, and my mom and dad have given me so much freedom and grace and forgiveness in this, but don't speak ill of them. Don't. If your parents are a mess, unless they've been redeemed and become this message, unless they give you just carte blanche to just go for it, don't talk bad about your parents. That's a real kind of low bar on how to, except really hard to do. If they're not honorable, don't speak ill of them. Can we point them to the truth? Is that a way to honor mom and dad? I would bring you back to do so with respect. In this room, we've had people that have tried to speak to their parents about holiness and what's right and been just shut down, even when they did so with gentleness and respect. Here's another way to honor your mom and dad if they're not so honorable. Keep doing it. Just keep doing it. So how about for all of us that are out of our parents' home? These all should apply, but I'll ask this question. How do you honor your parents when you're an adult? We can't say all the same what we just spoke about, but anything else? Anybody else got any ideas on that? When you're an adult, when you're a dad, when you're a mom, when somebody's supposed to be honoring you, how do you honor the grandparents? Taking care of them, make sure they're taken care of. Is that what you're saying? Yes. I love it. Thank you very much. Don't blame them for all your bad things, all your bad traits. Amen. Gosh. Wow. Thank them. Thank you, Jackie. Thank them. Amy, gosh. Engage with them as much as you would like your adult children to engage with you. Hoo-wee. Very, very, very good and convicting. Be the best person you can be to give a shout out to how they kept you alive at minimum. And maybe even planted some seeds in you in maximum. Okay, we're going to go on to another one. And I do have a little bit more about honoring your parents a little bit later on. But I would say following Jesus, definitely one of the best ways you can honor your parents, even as an adult. I know that I find much joy in my children and their adulthood as they've been following the Lord. And I think doing that is an honor to your parents, even if they don't know the Lord yet. All right. So honor your mom and your dad. It's good for you. Let's go to Exodus 20:13. You shall not murder. I did this one time in a room, and I forgot my audience, and I'm not going to tell you who the audience was or give away a little bit too much. But I said, how many of you have been able to say you've kept this? Forgetting that there was a bad story in the room. But it allowed us to come to the grace of God when we don't meet all of these things. But I'll say to you that it makes significant sense to me that God would say you shouldn't murder. Later on, I have a slide that says, don't kill is a pretty low bar. This isn't what the rule was. Is don't murder. Killing might happen, and there's a lot of arrangements for all of that, actually, in a lot of the law we're not going to read. Accidentally killing somebody, all this. But this is murder. Don't just flat out kill somebody on choice, on lust, on desire, on your own idea of what right and wrong is. That's, yeah, we're definitely getting there for sure. Look, on January 17th, we had a thing called the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and we didn't talk anything about it. I was waiting for this moment. If anybody would have said anything, I would have said, yeah, you bet. More than the low bar, don't murder people. Don't kill them because, like it says in Genesis 9:6, they're image bearers of God. Babies in the womb are image bearers of God. Old people that cost you your inheritance because they're sick are image bearers of God. People who you hate, and probably with good reason, are image bearers of God. Like Eric said, there's more to this than just killing. So don't kill is kind of a low bar, isn't it? What about honoring kids enough to speak up for them if they're being abused? What about honoring unborn kids enough to speak up for them and not shame the whole world? Because you have people among you that understand abortion as like this near-death experience. And they've come to know in Jesus Christ that one of the people that went in did die. and they found forgiveness in Jesus Christ. But can you stand up without shaming people but still say, look, what's good is Jesus. What's good is life. What's good is what he says and what he paid for. You guys, I want to land really, really strongly on this. And so I'll finish my comments about this one with Jesus' comments. We're going to go to Matthew 5, 21 through 24. This happens in a long line of things, but it kind of launches with anger, but it goes into lust and divorce and paying people back and all of that. And Jesus takes what was really the standard and says, yeah, actually, this is what we're talking about here. Matthew 5, 21 through 24. You've heard that it was said to those of old, to the ancients, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, that everyone who's angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Please don't be loophole finders right now. This is for you. I don't have a problem with my brother, or my sister for that matter, or a cousin. What about somebody that fired you? What about any other image bearer of God? I need to get to one that's really significant, and I've seen the ravages of it in our culture, and that's the adultery piece. So I'm going to finish the don't kill with, where's your heart towards image bearers of God? Any of them, any grudges, any frustrations, any inconveniences, any disagreements? Maybe people you don't even know that you've murdered in your own heart. Can you repent of that? Can you celebrate that God gives life and that life is precious to him? And because it's precious to him, he calls us to deep account for how we interact with people. And where murder starts is right here. Father, I know that we need that. And I know that you've taught me even Friday, with a phone call and with a memorial service, that life is short. And to love like you love and forgive like you've called us to forgive. We need your help with that because that's hard. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so first one was honor your mom and your dad. Second one was don't murder. The third one, Exodus 20, verse 14. You shall not commit adultery. What is adultery? It's sex with a married person you're not married to. That also seems like kind of a low bar. You know what I mean? That should be all right. The church. I don't even love this, but you can go and find out how recently so many pastors did this one. It takes two to tango, and I get that. If you're a Christ follower, this one seems like kind of maybe one of the biggest no-duds ever. And since it doesn't look that way in our numbers compared to the world, let me unpack for you why this is a big one to God. Leviticus. Hey, I just spent my quiet time there, did you? We break these ones out to kind of hit people over the head if they're Judeo-Christian a little bit. But Leviticus, it's kind of a little bit boring and kind of just drawn out. And if I may say so, beautiful reminder of the holiness of God. And he's not messing around with that, which makes what Jesus did and us taking communion and remembering his love that much greater. He paid a price for you you couldn't pay on your own, wouldn't pay on your own. Kind of getting to a different topic. But am I? If a man commits adultery, it says in Leviticus 20, verse 10, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress, so surely be put to death. It takes two to tango. God knows that because he looked at the one and said, it's not good for him to be all by himself. Let me make one that looks like him and is similar to him, but completes him because he needs help. I like oneness, God says, because I'm from the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, triune, we're one, we're together. I like oneness. Like man and woman coming together and being kind of like it was in the very beginning. In 1 Corinthians 6, I have on the screen for you 18 through 20. The Holy Spirit got a hold of me on Friday and said, nah, I want you to read a little bit more than that. And so since I don't have much time, I'm going to get right to it. 1 Corinthians 6, I'm going to go 12 through 20, and then you can pick me up at 18. All things are lawful for me. I mean, I can do what I want, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I may not be dominated. I will not be dominated by anything. You're a Christ follower. You're free. Nothing can hold you down. So don't be held down by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and stomach for the food. And God will actually destroy both one and the other. Whatever one you're thinking is such a big deal, your appetites or what you fill them with, they're both going to be canceled out. The body's not meant for sexual immorality. What? Were we even talking about that? Aren't we always, in some way, shape, or form, having a sexual conversation in our culture? God's like, look, it's not just about food right now. I wasn't just saying, you know, whether you crave. Do you know what that needs is some sesame oil. Not that. He's saying, look, there's other appetites. So, look, the body wasn't meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. God's like, I made you and you're meant for me as I'm for you. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Let me remind you of the resurrection power of God. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? You're one with him? Shall I then take the members of Christ, me, and make them members of a prostitute? Should I connect up sexually with somebody else? Never, Paul says. Or do you not know that he who's joined to a prostitute becomes one with her? They become one. The two shall become one flesh. Outside of a baby in the womb, the closest you can be to another human being is sexual intercourse. God's like, this is oneness right here. You don't make yourself one with one I didn't give you. You don't make yourself one with one who is paying the rent by having sex. Do Do you know his or her story? Do you know what happened to most of those prostitutes when they were kids? Don't combine up with that. But he who is joined to the Lord, oh, this is good, becomes one with the Lord in spirit. He's talking about don't combine up sexually, combine up holistically with the one that made you. Then he says, flee from sexual immorality. Don't play footsies with it. Don't get as close to the edge as possible and then try to back away. Friends, let me get all pastoral, shepherdy, dad, youth pastory, whatever. You use whatever adjective or descriptor you want. But let me get there really quick. You don't fall off a cliff from 40 feet away from the edge. Flee sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? He's telling a group of Christians, you can't be sexually immoral and giving honor to God at the same time. Look, he lives inside of you. Don't join up with all that. You're not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Unity, oneness, purity. This is important to God. This matters to God. It's because he knows what's best for us. And he actually made us. And he wants us to have an amazing life. Doesn't want us to play footsies with that which would destroy it. We'll go to Hebrews 13:4. I really don't even have any time to unpack this, so you're just going to have to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to hit you. Let marriage be held in honor among all. And let the marriage bed be undefiled or pure. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Without repentance, you're going down. Look, I told you in the beginning, people matter to God. Marriage matters to God. If this comes as any kind of a surprise to you, it's because we live in a culture that's trying to redefine it. Marriage is God's idea. Marriage is made between people. Made in the image of God, by God, one male, one female. Let's get you married. That's so scandalous. I'm not telling people that they're not loved by God. You can choose what you want, but he made you. He says this is what's right. Not, gosh, I hope you like it. Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother because the two have become one flesh, right? Therefore, the man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast, cleave to, connect to, become one with his wife. And they shall become one flesh. Gift from God, established by God. Will you go with me to Ephesians 5, 31 and 32. Paul quotes Genesis 2. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother, who we know you're still supposed to honor, you just don't live in their house when you get married. If you're working through some stuff, please don't be shamed, but you can actually have your own home and still have your heart with your mama or with your daddy, or hoping they think you're finally something. Jesus says you something and he died for you. Let that be your truth and his identity be who you worship. Not your mom, not your dad, not your spouse. So a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound. Like, wow, okay, what? And I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. You want to know why marriage is such a big deal? It's a picture of God's love for his people. It is not to be worshipped ahead of God. It's not to be worshipped at all. It's to be put in its proper place. Honored. Because God says it's a big deal. It's such a big deal. It's the picture I'm choosing to show the world of my love for my people. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself. How would she want to be treated? I must adore her. I must lay myself down for her. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Well, I need to honor him and respect him and tell him that he's important and valuable and that he wouldn't try and find that out somewhere else. Love her and adore her so she doesn't try to find that from someone else. Well, it's her fault if she did it. It's his fault. He chose it. Yeah, he did. And she did. Can you help? Guys, I have too much to share and not enough time. If it seems like I have a lot on my heart about all of this, it's because I do. I'm cotton mouthed today. I haven't been this nervous to talk in quite a while. And when I'm nervous, I just talk. That's a bad combination for wanting to be done in a particular amount of time. So I'm going to give you some bonus reading. Please go to Matthew 19, 4 through 12. See how serious God takes marriage and divorce and adultery and all of that. I will take you back to the words of Jesus where he actually raises the bar on. Look, I know in this world it's crazy and there's so much stuff going on and it's hard to just have sex with your spouse, but just if you could just do that, that'd be great. Just your spouse. And if you're not married, then you're not having sex. But he raises the bar on adultery and doesn't say, well, this world kind of sucks, so we'll just try to keep it down here. No, if you're my people, this is what I want for you and from you. Matthew 5, 27 through 32. Jesus said, you've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. He certainly must be hyperbole here. See, this is why it's hard for me to even take the Bible seriously. Does he want you to gouge your eye out? He wants you to be so serious with sin. So serious with the sin that says union and oneness is a joke. Because that dishonors the one that made us. So don't fool around with this. It's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right eye causes you to sin, cut it out, throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell. God's saying, holiness matters, but I'll make you whole. It's better for you to be a little broken and be full spiritually and honestly God-honoring than to have all your faculties heading to hell. And hell for us is not just some flamey place. It's where God isn't. Jesus says where it all begins, all of these things, is the heart. The control center. The heart of the operation, the organization, the heart of the family, whatever. I mean, literally saying the center of who you are is where your mind and your heart combine. And you make decisions and they come out in actions. People matter to God because holiness matters to God. He made us in his image, whole, complete, mind, body, heart, soul. And what we just looked at this morning are three amazing reminders that people matter to him. Honoring your parents. You might just need to forgive them. You might just start right there. Don't murder anybody. Don't be all angry with them in your mind and your heart. Don't get to that spot. You don't just wake up one morning without massive mental issues and go, I'm going to kill someone. There's anger. There's pain. If it's not towards the person that people murder, it's towards somebody else. I mean, it starts there. And so Jesus goes, get to the heart of that. And people matter to him and holiness matters to him. And so he wants oneness. He wants oneness in marriage. What I didn't read today talks about how difficult marriage is and why don't we just not get married at all? And God's like, oh no, don't divorce easily, freely. Don't have sex with other people. Choose covenant love and just dig in. For some of you people, you've got stuff going on, and I'm not saying stay in a sexually, emotionally, physically abusive place. I'm not. But I'm saying if people matter to God, it's because holiness matters to God. He made us in his image. It's about him. We're complete together. Let togetherness be something that you fight for. In your families, in this community, in your marriage. This is a higher love. I got four questions for you. I'd love for you to check them out on the app, or we can have them up on the screen. This can help you unpack some things. I'm really going to focus a little bit more on the live it out portion on later on. You can check it out online tomorrow, but I'm going to spend a little more time on specific things you can do in your marriage to not commit adultery. Father, help us to focus on you, true love. I love you so much. Thanks for loving us first. Thanks for my friends here, first service and online, dealing with me unpacking things in my own mind and heart about all three of these matters. And thank you that they were the test drive. In Jesus' name, amen.